Good morning again. We're glad to see the church filling up. That's wonderful. For those of you that did not have the opportunity to be here for the first service, we talked there about learning to become one and the challenges that we face when we get married, coming in as two me's, that me and this me, and now we need to learn how to become one. And often the struggle is, which one shall we be? Because we both think we're right. This moves us into our next part of the series today, from malfunction to miracles. Because we all know very well the part about malfunction, okay? And we don't know as much sometimes as we need to about the miracle side of things.
That's right. So we're going to look at a practical example of malfunction. We're going to use our own experience. We could use many others, but you can put it in the context of some of the struggles that you face in your relationship. And then we're going to look at steps that God has given us to move from the malfunction, which is our default mode, and move into living in the joy and power of His miracles. So malfunctions to miracles.
Well, it was 2 months after we were married. So those of you that were here earlier, you heard that story. And I had been asked by one of my associates in radiology if I would be a groomsman in his wedding. And he also wanted me to do a song for him. And I had talked it over with my fiance. That's a good thing to do, guys. Before we were married, to start talking about decisions that would affect our lives after we were married.
And it's a good thing to keep talking to your wives about decisions you're going to be making of things that are going to affect your marriage, right? So it doesn't stop.
That's right. Sometimes, unfortunately, it begins to stop there at the marriage. So we had both agreed that since it was going to be a quick weekend, and really, my wife knew no one that was going to be at that wedding other than my associate, Lowell. And actually, I didn't know anybody else that was going to be at the wedding. So we decided that just to save money, I'd just do a quick weekend over to the wedding in Boston from Chicago, and she would stay home, and we would save money.
Yeah, I mean, we were frugal. We're just starting lives together. We want to buy a home, so we're saving our money and pooling it together. And so we had this conversation. We were in full agreement. And as, you know, time flies by so quickly, we're 2 months married. We'd had some ups and downs and some deep downs and some nice ups. And now we're preparing for the weekend. We didn't talk a lot about it. The only thing I can remember is it was Thursday, because of going to the East Coast, especially you all who live in California, if you get to any event on the East Coast, sometimes you have to go a day early because of the time change. Well, that's what happened. So as we were looking at all of his responsibilities there, we discovered he had to leave on Thursday, and the wedding was Sunday afternoon late, and then the reception Sunday night, so that means he has to now come home on Monday. So a quick weekend soon grew into portions of 5 days. We're driving to the airport. My husband's driving. I'm in the passenger seat. I made arrangements at work to take a little time off to take him to the airport. And in those days, some of you are younger, most of you will know this, you could drive right up and park your car, and you could go into the airport all the way to the gate. Even if you didn't have a ticket, there was no TSA. Nobody checked your identity. You just went in there, and you could sit and have all this time together, right? How many of you remember those days? Oh, good, most of us here.
Okay.
That's changed. So we're driving into the airport, and my husband passes the first sign for parking.
Short-term parking.
He just pulls up right in front of departures, stops the car, gets out, and goes around and gets his luggage out of the back, and I'm kind of just sitting there a little bit confused a little bit, and then I get out of the car, and he says, "Goodbye, honey," and he gives me this wonderful kiss. Walks in the door, and I get in the driver's seat and go back to work.
All right, so let's just pause right there. Anybody see anything wrong with that picture 2 years in, 2 months into marriage? Okay? Okay. So what we're going to talk about today in the first part of this message is what we call the misses.
The malfunction misses.
These are the malfunction misses, and you'll see that there's four of them we're going to talk about. This first one is called the miss of misconception, okay? So there's going to be four misses here, and they definitely are misses that affect us when we miss each other in the marriage.
Before we get there, I want to go through this. This is the part my husband always likes to go through really fast. But it's an important part that helps you understand the cycle of malfunction or that pattern of malfunction. And so anyway, I drop him off. I go home. I go back to work, actually. And who am I thinking about? Come on, ladies. Who am I thinking about? I'm thinking about him. I'm calculating in my mind, oh, he should be landing in Boston. I wonder who's going to pick him up. I wonder where he's going to stay. I wonder what, you know, what all these wonders. And I couldn't wait to get home that evening because I was anticipating a phone call. Now, this is pre-cell phone days. This was just the beginning of having portable phones. Okay, most of the phones still were attached to a wall or to a cord or a table or something. I know it's hard for some of you younger ones to relate to this, but it happens also with the cell phone, so it doesn't have to be just connected to a wall. I never got a call that night. And so, like every good wife will do, she begins to think of all the reasons why her husband didn't call her, right? And they were all very good. He is a shy person. I came to understand that. He's timid, and he doesn't know who he's staying with, and he doesn't want to be a bother, and so he's not going to ask any questions. And in those days, if you called outside of your calling zone, it was called long distance, and you paid pretty dearly for it, so I know he was thinking about that. And all of the good reasons I assigned to why he didn't call. But I have to say, I had been looking forward to that call all day. And I was disappointed when he didn't call Thursday evening. Friday, I went to work, was busy all day at work, came home Friday evening, getting ready for the Sabbath. Oh, I couldn't. I sat right by the phone. It never rang.
This is the time when I start looking to see if this is a solid pulpit that I can hide behind.
Okay, we'll get right to the point. The entire weekend, he never called. It was Monday.
Do you want to do that one more time? Okay, so let's get this over with.
Now, I appreciate that emotional understanding and support, even from you men, but you know what? Put it in your context. There are things that you have done in your marriage that if you were vulnerable enough to share, the rest of us would go, oh. Because when it's not you, you can see it. But when it's you, it's hard to see, both husband and wife. So it's Monday morning, and I am driving to the airport, and I have two choices to make. I can go off into short-term parking. I can go in and stand there at the end of the jetway waiting for him to come off the plane and throw my arms around my new husband of 2 months and say, honey, I'm so glad to see you.
That wasn't in the script. That just happened, but it would have been great for that to happen, okay?
Yes. Or I could just drive up to arrivals and sit there and wait till he walked out the door. I'm not going to ask you what you
vote.
To vote. I know which would have been the better one, but during that process of time, like every other of our minds, especially women's minds, are very good at this, we create scenarios. And pretty soon those scenarios become our reality. And then when they become our reality, we start acting and thinking and responding and speaking based off of this scenario that has been created in the mind. We all do it. Men and women. Women are better at it most of the time than men.
Or worse at it, depending on how you look at that.
Yes, that's true. So, unfortunately, by the end of the weekend, I was disappointed. I was hurt. I was frustrated and even irritated at him. And I even started questioning if he really loved and cared for me. All within 5 days. The mind is an incredible processor. Many of you have done the same thing. Many are you of you are continuing to do the same thing. It doesn't matter how long or how short you've been married. You create these things, and you have your ways of dealing with them, and then you start to go into your pattern of malfunction. Unfortunately, by that Monday morning, I was in at the bottom. So I drove up to Arrivals, and I waited for him to come out the door, and he came out with the biggest smile on his face as soon as he saw me, and that almost melted my heart.
Not quite.
And then I got out of the car, and he put his arms around me. Oh, honey, I'm so glad to see you. And he was so excited. He gave me a kiss, and he was in his own world. And now I was in it with him. And he gets in the car to drive us both back to work, and he starts sharing what a great weekend he had. And the more he talked, the quieter I got, and the more I allowed myself, the me that we talked about earlier, to be offended, hurt, and I turned, we're going to talk about communication this afternoon. Here's one of those communications. I never say a thing.
The more I talked, the more she turned.
Away. So anyway, we're going to take this experience. We're going to dissect it from malfunctions to miracle. And that was the misconceptions.
So, again, as I shared something earlier in the first message, it wouldn't do us any good to share these kind of experiences, except there's good news in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? There is life-changing power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? And can it happen in your life? Or just the speaker's lives? It happens in all of us according to our willingness to believe and to ask and to receive, okay? But many times we get in our situations where we're just doing what we feel like doing. And when I came out of that airport that morning, I was so excited to see my wife. Because sometimes, and this is not an excuse, but I'm going to say this very plainly. Guys, take it personally, okay? But don't be offended. Sometimes we are clueless. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I'm not even asking you to agree, because I already know that's how we are generally, okay? And when I drove up to the airport that morning, that Thursday morning, I was just thinking about being efficient. You're not buying that, are you? Okay. That's not an excuse, but that's true. I was thinking my wife's taking time off. She needs to get back to work. She had a very important job that she needed to be doing and all that stuff. And I just pulled up to the door, just going to, you know, the problem was I didn't talk about that with her. So here's the misconception. She has this beautiful plan in her mind. Do you see that, ladies? We're going to drive up to the airport. Maybe some of you guys see this too, okay, if you're good romantics. We're going to drive up to the airport. We're going to pull into short-term parking. We're going to walk in there. That's the picture she had. That's her conception. It's in her mind. She can see it. I have a conception in that moment. I'm going to just drive up, get her back to work, say goodbye, give her a nice kiss and a hug, and we can both be on our way to do what we need to do. Those were two separate misconceptions, right? This is often where malfunction starts. We have quiet things going on in our minds that we are conceiving and we are misperceiving, and they become misperceptions. Never speak a word. We make assumptions, and then something doesn't go her perception or my perception or conception, and boom, we're into some problems. Was it a misconception that it's okay to be married 2 months and then leave my wife at home to save $300? Is that a misconception?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So there were several misconceptions that were happening.
Well, part of that is, you know, as a young married couple, we need to spend as much time together as possible and capture these experiences that we can go through together. But also, along with not just the saving the money side, but also that, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Take over.
Yeah, so one of the misconceptions that I had walking out of the airport now on Monday morning is that my wife is going to be excited to see me like I am excited to see her. Was she excited to see me?
Yes.
She was, but it was buried under some other stuff. It took a while to come to the surface.
See, women do love their husbands. Guys just know that. We love you. We love our husband. But sometimes when our feelings are hurt, that's what you see, but you don't see that underneath it we really love you. And that's our fault, okay? So we need to keep that. Yes, here was my struggle through the weekend. I knew what God wanted me to do, but I knew that what was happening hurt my feelings. So I yielded to the feelings instead of yielding to the Spirit. So underneath it all, if something traumatic would have happened, if he would have, you know, been in a horrible accident, I would have been grieving, right? And feeling guilty for all those bad feelings. So I was happy to see him, but I also, and this is very much a woman's thing, we like to make sure that we let our husband know that they have not measured, or they have missed the mark, or they have not come through. And so we have a way of communicating our dislike, and even at times punishing them by our responses.
Now, lest you think that I'm not going to take responsibility for not calling her, okay, I'm only smiling about this because it's all behind us. And I can tell you, and my wife would readily tell you, that I don't do those kind of things anymore. I have not for a long time. But there was no excuse. Excuses are valueless. Okay? It is true that in those kind of situations that I tend to be more reserved about wanting to, in a home, I didn't know anybody in that home. I didn't know where their phone was. And I didn't really want to get into asking because I wasn't spending a lot of time in that home. We had a lot of activities to do. These are not excuses because they're valueless. But they are things that were going through my mind. Didn't have a cell phone, so these were things, but I could have called and paid the long distance, because I'm really not that much of a cheapskate, okay? It has more to do with just the way the weekend rolled out. But when I got home and saw my wife, I was just as happy as you can imagine to be back with my wife. This was the next misconception, that she would be just as happy to see me. And she was, like she said, underneath. But when she said to me, "Why didn't you call me?" That was my golden moment. So don't miss this, guys, okay? I recognized in an instant that she was not happy because I didn't call her. I could have said to her, "Oh, honey, I am so sorry. Please forgive me." You think that would have had any impact? It would have had a lot of impact. But do you know what I did? Well, I started making my excuses. And that does not go well when you want to avoid malfunction, because that heads us towards malfunction.
So we had misconceptions. It's okay to separate. We have expectation they're going to think the way we do without communicating. And then we have more misconceptions that build. The next area that comes into the play of the malfunction is we have misconduct. For me, my misconduct was allowing my feelings and my thoughts to go from something that was reality to non-reality. From putting the best construction on to putting the worst construction on. That was my misconduct, even to the point where when I was so happy to see him, I couldn't really let him know because I wanted him to know, more importantly, how hurt I was. So
that's very well said.
That is a major...
You want to say that again? Because Everybody needs to understand that. Now, you women understand that, right?
Of course they do.
Again, see here I said, you women understand that. It's because we've done so much practical marriage counseling in the last 29 years that it is generally the women that go here. There's an occasional flip of that where you've got a man that is so amazingly sensitive and wants to communicate, and the woman saying, I can't get this guy to stop wanting to communicate. That's not so typical. But the point is this. Let me just say it this way. My wife has turned me into a monster overnight in certain situations, not particularly this one. But I have literally gone to
that
bed.
That took me the weekend.
Yeah. I've literally gone to bed thinking everything is fine and woken up the next morning and I can sense something is wrong. What did I do? Well, I became a monster overnight. How do you become a monster overnight? Your wife lays awake half the night thinking about how you can become a monster. Now, that's my word. She didn't think that. Okay, that's not what she was thinking. Right, dear?
That's right.
That happens.
It does.
And women generally are the ones that are the offenders in this. I have plenty to say about guys. We talk about guys and a lot of these things, but that's where women generally offend.
So misconduct. We all have our default modes of misconduct. We have the misconceptions, now we're misconduct. For him, at the wedding, was not just the fact that he didn't call me, but I wondered if I was at that wedding, if he would have the same conduct he had if I wasn't there.
And that was a very good point, because I didn't have the same conduct. Remember, I've only been married how many months? 2 months. Have I lived more life single than I have married? Yes. Did I understand about self that we talked about this morning in the me focus? I did not really understand that then. So here I am at a wedding. It's a festive occasion. And I can assure you that part of my misconduct was not having my wife sitting by my side to be a gentle reminder of where my love and loyalty was. Now, I didn't do anything that was really bad, so don't let your imaginations go down that track. But back in those days, I was a very foolish person. I hate to admit that. Again, I'm not and have not been for many years, but I was a foolish person. I was the type of person that could make up a joke, tell you a story, and have you sitting on the edge of your seat, and that was not good conduct.
He also had the reputation in high school as being the most flirtatious of all the guys in high school.
That's not on the notes, is it?
No, but I just thought of it, so. I mean, all of that comes into the mind, right? And so while I'm back at home wondering what's going on, and I'm imagining, because he's going to be walking through that door escorting this beautiful bridesmaids down the aisle, right? And in my mind, I create who this bridesmaid is. And she is nothing like me. She has, never mind, but anyway, you understand. She's...
I mean, you're wonderful. Okay. I love you.
So we better move on. Misconduct. So we
But don't move on too quick, because you've left them wondering.
No.
When I got home and we got through this, I told her who I walked down the aisle with and made sure that she understood that she had a true misconception of that.
That's right.
Okay.
So misconduct is the next step that we just talked about. Now we move from misconduct. Notice there's been no communication here. It's been in the mind and it's been in the actions. Now the next step that leads to malfunction, that takes us down another level, is miscommunication. I start telling him about what he's done, and I don't do it in the spirit of Christ. I don't do it with the spirit of love. I do it in the spirit of I'm hurt, I'm upset, and you're going to understand
and
this.
And I'm being accused.
And yeah, there you go.
Blamed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the natural default mode. Did I deserve to be blamed? Yes. But that's not the... If we go down just what we deserve, we aren't in the gospel. Mm-hmm. Because if we got what we deserved, none of us would be here, right?
That's right.
We don't get what we deserve in the grace of Jesus Christ. We get something that leads us to a better place. And so here we are now, because of our misconceptions, because of our misconduct, mentally, emotionally, and... as we're separated, we get into miscommunication, because now we're working off of false information, and we all do it in our marriages too often. We work off our emotions. We work off our what ifs, and it leads us into miscommunication. So when she meets me at the airport and asks me that question, as I said a moment ago, I could have made this all different. But I chose to justify myself. And that is our default mode, friends. It is the go-to place that we don't have to try hard to do. We always want to be understood in my context. And the reality of it is that we need to listen and be understanding the other person. I had a call from the Spirit, which I didn't understand as well as I do today, or I didn't understand it very well back in those days. I had a call from the Spirit in that moment when she said, "Why didn't you call?" I heard the deeper call to my heart, but was not used to what that looks like or sounds like. And so instead of being sensitive to you, I made all my excuses to you. And that created more miscommunication.
More miscommunication, more malfunction. Now we're almost all the way to the bottom, and the last step is misunderstanding. Think about it again in the context of some of your issues that you faced. And again, they're not always very big, but they start us in this cycle that we soon become very efficient in, and we go from the top to the bottom very quickly. So the next step is misunderstanding. Major misunderstanding between the two of us. For the 20, 30 minutes it took us to drive back to the hospital to work, we were in total conflict. Feelings hurt, irritations rising, words spoken, sharpness, defensive, accusing, justifying, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then we have to walk into work, and just like you, we're normal people. Right? Let's be real here. We go in, you know, I do my job, he does his job, everything's good for the rest of the day. We get back in the car, and on the way home, we pick up where we left off, just like you have done. And sometimes picking it up is just letting it go, just not letting it go in the spirit, but just not talking about it anymore, but brooding about it, saying nothing, no resolve, just moving on and stuffing it under the carpet. It doesn't go away. God wants to redeem our hearts, not just cover over our sins.
So these misunderstandings, what ends up happening, because it is a big miss. Okay, so we've had four misses here. Misunderstandings become bigger and bigger because they are not understandings. We are not really understanding each other. We are misunderstanding each other. And if we have more and more of that in the cycle, we call it the fatal cycle of malfunction. The more we live in misunderstanding, the more we create a person who is not the person we married. We create a relationship that is not the one that's real. Just like people do on Facebook, okay? Create something that's not real because the popular people say these kind of things, and so I'm not going to be real. It happens. And it happens in marriage. So the misunderstanding, now I am getting to the point where I'm saying to you, to her, what's your problem? Okay, so I didn't call you. That was a terrible thing. Instead of me feeling the remorse of that in the moment, I am justifying myself in the moment and now saying to her, you're just oversensitive. I mean, get a grip on life, okay? Can you hear the tone in that? Yeah. That's what happens in the me focus of malfunction. It is not her that I'm thinking about, except to put myself, underscore it, self, in a better place, to be justified. But now I'm pushing her away in this misunderstanding instead of drawing her to me.
The good news is that we can move past that. And that's where the miracle working power comes in. That's what we want to focus on for the remainder of this presentation this morning, is because we need to be able to identify our pattern of malfunction, but we don't want to just stop there. We want to look for how Christ can and God can redeem it through the power of his word and in the hearts of two human beings.
You know, we were over in the UK doing one of our family retreats over in Wales. And this is such an exciting story because we were doing this message there. And we had a lady come up to us and she said, "This message was used by God in such a powerful way." She said, "You have no idea. As you were sharing this message, my husband and I, right here at this retreat," so we're at a family retreat, people are away from all their pressures, "right here, we were ready to go into our cycle of malfunction. It happened this morning, and we came and heard this message, and by God's grace, we are not going to go down that malfunction. We're going to take these steps," which we're going to lay out for you right now. She said, "What you don't know is that when we go into our malfunction, our cycle lasts for 3 months. We communicate about nothing that is not absolutely vital to our children. We don't communicate. We avoid each other." And she said, "We were ready to go into that cycle this morning, and we are not going to go there by God's grace." 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 3 says, "Let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband." Notice that throughout God's word, right from the very beginning, who did God call to accountability first in the Garden of Eden?
Adam.
Not the serpent. Not Eve. Adam. We stand under the headship of Christ, and we carry the first responsibility as professing Christians. Do you understand that, men? It's a high calling. It's a privilege. But when God is asking us to show due benevolence, I want to put that term in very simple terms. God is asking us in the moment when self is wanting to cry for me, for my way, God is calling for us to give love in that moment. Do you know that your wife needs to be loved? She needs to feel loved. She needs to experience your love. To her, that represents security as it does in Christ Jesus. But many times, men, what we do is we want to extract something from them because of the way we feel. And one of the greatest blessings that this verse means practically to me is when I'm feeling like doing it my way, self's way, God is calling me to give love to my wife in that moment. Is that a work of faith? Can I do that on my own?
No.
Can I grit my teeth and try hard? No, it doesn't work. None of that works. In that moment is a call to surrender myself and give what my wife needs, not get what I think I need now. That's the opposite. It's moving from the default mode of self to the faith mode of choosing God's way. And therein lies the power of the gospel in every situation that we face.
It's interesting that the verse doesn't stop, which is the husband. It says, "And likewise," who? The wife, right? "To do the same." That means we have a disposition for good. We have a disposition to heal and to restore, to give that love also to our spouse, and not just to want him to see everything the way I see it and do it the way I want it done. So this verse is the foundation of the steps here for turning that malfunction into miracles. And the first one we talked about already is to identify your cycle of malfunction. We just clearly identified ours here this morning. Everyone has the same four misses in it. Yours has the same four misses. Some are heavier and some are not maybe so prominent, but all those components are in every malfunction. So identify it. We have gone back and I have looked at where we've had our roughest moments in our marriage, and we saw the pattern. We saw what set it off, and then we looked at how we each responded. We identified it. Now we have agreed, and this is all we say. Oh, it should be step number two, sorry.
Yeah, so identify your pattern. Mm-hmm. Second is to take ownership of my side.
That's right.
Our default mode, and we'll be saying this all through the day, our default mode, where we go naturally, don't have to give it any thought, is to blame. No, take ownership of my side. Take ownership of your side of the cycle of the malfunction. As long as we say, if you'd stop, when you do this, it's never going to happen, friends. The cycle will continue, and it will get old, and we'll go into our separate lives. Take ownership. Agree to take ownership of my side of the malfunction. That's number two.
Number three is, instead of looking to him, what he's going to do to change it, what can I do differently? How can I allow the grace of God to help my heart to change my natural response, to say those things that I know will be healing in that situation, to say those things that I know that will help to communicate instead of saying those things that are going to aggravate and cause a bigger distance between us. So we have to begin already outside of the malfunctions to begin to look at the steps to restore the malfunction into the miracles. So in this step, we want to start thinking ahead, what am I going to do differently next time? Not only be responsible for what we've done, but now what can I do to help create a different outcome by my choices?
So number four, as we begin to recognize the part that we have, which is through the Holy Spirit, number four is a recognition that, okay, I see that, I know that I have this, but I cannot change this. Can a leopard change their spots? Can you make yourself grow a little bit more by thinking hard about it? We cannot change ourselves one bit, even though we start seeing it, even though we're willing to see it. The real change only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and a real surrender of myself to the power of Christ working in the life. That's where it's going to happen. And without him, we can't do anything. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Believe it. You can't get through a day without the power of Christ, or you'll find out how quickly we can default to self.
The next step is to, once we recognize it, give each other permission to identify it and say, our term is, honey, it's happening. That's all we have to say. Honey, it's happening. Because one person's identified it, the tendency for the person who doesn't speak up first is to say, what do you mean what's happening? There's nothing happening? I mean, are you having a problem? That's our tendency. So when we've talked much about this, and so we've given each other the permission to say it's happening and not to go to default, start justifying and excusing, but to recognize if one person's identifying it, I know it's there too in my heart. If he says it to me, I know it's there. Because it takes two of us to go down the malfunction together, not just one.
That's a really tough one, okay? And if we had more time, we could share an experience where that happened the first time after we made that commitment. But it's good, and it's mutual, and it gives God an access point to us, okay? We made an agreement and a commitment to God in prayer to let each other say that. And as soon as it happens, boom. There is that default feeling, feel it in your gut, self wants to do, but at that moment, the Holy Spirit reminds you, and you can make the choice. So, number six, pray specifically together for the needed changes in your marriage. Pray together. We made a commitment, and actually we made this commitment many years ago, and it has been one of the greatest blessings. We pray together out loud before we close the day every day, okay? Because the Lord says to us, let not the sun go down on your wrath. That's a principle. Don't go to bed upset. If I told you how many people we know personally, might make you not want to be personal friends with us, but personally who have died in their sleep over the last 30 years of ministry, it's shocking. People who have gone to bed and one of them has not woken up the next morning. And we know these people personally, and we know what they went through. And we know the ones who went to bed that night in complete harmony and prayer together. And we know the ones who were in a fight, and they died the next morning. They found their husband, this particular one I'm thinking of, dead, cold. That's a shocking experience. So that's not the motivation. But the point is that if we are willing to pray, I used to pray on my wife. I hate to say that. When we were having our struggles in the first year of marriage, I used to say, Lord, can you get her attention? Can you help her see what she's doing? Our marriage could be so wonderful. If you could just, is that a good prayer? No.
Well, women pray the same thing. Can you please change his heart? Can you please help him be more sensitive? Can you please open his eyes to what he's not doing, right? But those are self-driven prayers. And I saw the benefit of stop focusing on him and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do to change? That is the key. And that's what we talked about a few steps ago. What is it I can do to be different in these situations? Not just in the situations of a crisis or a malfunction budding, but in all the areas of the relationship. What can I do yes. to bring love and harmony into the relationship?
We're not suggesting that you shouldn't pray for each other privately for things to change, but we're talking about it in the context of selflessness under Christ, not, can you just get her to quit bugging me? That's not the kind of prayers we need to be having. And last, and many times very importantly, number 7 is don't give up. Get up. Don't give up. Too many times we give up too easily on each other. We give up on the Lord. Don't give up, but get up and continue to press on.
So we want to focus on what we're going to do to make these changes. So we've identified the pattern. Now you can take these steps and put it in the context of your relationship. And if ideally what would be great is if you could start even yet today to start talking about this. Because the more we talk about it before we're in it, the easier it is when we start to go in it to identify it and keep from going down to the bottom of the disappointment and the malfunction.
And we just want to say, I don't know if they're recording. Are they recording these? Okay, good. So if they're recording, you can get them. But you can go to our website, to restoration-international.org. You can download any of this stuff for free. And there's just hundreds of hours to listen to. So you can go back and hear it again. In closing, we're going to sing a song called Forever Friends. And
that's turning malfunctions into miracles.
That's
Forever
right.
Friends.
Sorry, we didn't give David much heads up on that. A little bit louder. Things are changing, seasons come and seasons go. Very few things last forever, but deep within our hearts we know we're forever friends, bound by love that time can't take away. Forever friends, caring in a special kind of way, heart to heart and hand in hand, we'll stand until the end. Love's forever when we're forever friends. Children of the Father, in His keeping and His care, and the Spirit that He gives us is a love we're meant to share. We're forever friends, bound by love that time can't take away. Forever friends, caring in a special kind of way, heart to heart and hand in hand, we'll stand until the end. Love's forever when we're forever. Thank you. house forever when we're forever friends.
I think they love each other.
Amen.
And I sense from us, you're starting to love them too, aren't you? Praise the Lord. We'd like to keep you. We get to keep you for the afternoon. And so we invite you to join us for lunch and to stick around for the afternoon sessions at 1:30, 3, and 4. And then at 5 is the couple's refresher. But right now, let's bow our heads and talk to Jesus about what he's been teaching us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here with us. We thank you for bringing Tom and Elaine to share their story, to open up about how you've worked in their lives. And Father, every last one of us, I think, no matter what our relationship, no matter what our situation in life, we want your love to work in us like that. Father, in our relationships, we want to be giving, we want to be caring. We want to be part of the solution, Father, and we know that it can only happen through you. So, Father, as anyone has heard the call today to say yes to you in any way, we all hear the call, and we want to say yes to you now. If any of us here, Father, feel separated from you and don't sense that your power is able to work in our lives, we ask that right now that your Spirit would bring the truth that you have so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I pray that we can be united today in believing in Jesus, trusting our lives to you through him, and experiencing the gift of eternal life through him and your power to lead us to live that life of love. Thanks for being with us. Bless us throughout the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me and sing our song of love for each other as we prepare to go? God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again, till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet, till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.